Benson Hotel in Portland. Registration is now open for this 5-day conference. Panels and workshops include Facing Fascism, What's the NLG's Role in Defending Resistance to Fascism? Movement Lawyering for Racial Justice. Disaster Capitalism, Colonialism and Climate Change. What it means to do movement legal support in indigenous communities, and much more. Again, registration is now open for the Law for the People National Lawyers Guild Convention from October 31st through the 4th at the Benson Hotel, 309 Southwest Broadway in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning. You are listening to KBOO FM 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis, Albany, and via the World Wide Web, it is KBOO.FM. This is More Talk Radio. I am Cecil Prescott, and today is the 15th of October in the year 2018. And thank you for joining us here on More Talk Radio, your community radio station. And this is your opportunity to join in conversations that are important in your community. Today is the 15th of October in 2018. And I am glad that you took the time from your day to join us this morning. We want to open up the conversations and the opportunity for you to be a part of our conversations. Let me give you our phone numbers in case you do not have them. You may dial us here at 503-231-8187 to talk with us. Give us a call. Heather will put you online, and thank you, Heather, for setting up this system so I can actually see the callers as they called. So an important thing is for you to help us test our system. Inundate Heather with calls. Just call her all the time, and she'll just do everything with her magic fingers. Please be kind. Heather has to go to work afterwards, and we don't want to put too much pressure on Heather before the start of the day. But in the meantime, this is your opportunity to give us a call. Did you know that if you smile every day, it can make a difference? And certainly there are people who have tested this theory. I'll share with you a study I came across in a few minutes. But I just wanted you to think about it. How often do you smile? This is Monday, the beginning of a new work week. And as you head off to your endeavors today, this week, take note, how often do you smile during the day? Those of you who are in Oregon might have noticed that voter pamphlets have started to arrive on your doorsteps. And again, I want to thank the U.S. Postal Service for carrying those things. And did you notice if you receive your voter pamphlet this weekend? Is that it's rather thick. Now, I don't know whether it's because it's the midterm election or there are a lot of candidates or a lot of ballot initiatives, but it's a fairly thick document. And so I want to thank all of you who are letter carriers for doing that public service. And now, the task is up to us who are voters to actually read the voter pamphlets, see what people have said and what do you think are important? So have you read your voter's pamphlet? Are there things in it that surprise you? What do you think? And then I want to just touch upon what we've heard on Democracy Now and Amy Goodman's program earlier. And again, it is so informative. And the last segment she aired about in terms of acknowledging Oscar Romero's elevation to sainthood, but also the struggle and the trials that immigrants have as they come here, and the plight of children and parents who are separated. It sort of raises the question, for me at least, as we see all of this that's going on in our nation, and there are more that you can talk about, is how do we define our nation, the United States? And more specifically, for those of you who were troubled by much of what's going on in our nation, in our government, how do you define patriotism? What does it mean to be a steady and reverent, maybe not, but patriotic American? Or does that, is that a term that's no longer appropriate for those of conscience? I'm seeing all that's going on in our government. What does it mean to define oneself as a patriot? So a few things. Do you smile every day? Have you noticed the voter pamphlets? What are things that we should note about it? And how do you define patriotism in light of a very strange world we are living in? Give us a call and share your thoughts here on your community radio station, KBOO. Phone number 0503-231-8187. And Sunny is on line one. Good morning, Sunny.
Good morning, Cecil. And those are good questions and things to think about for input and thought. That's, you know, I appreciate that. And I'd like to say a few things real quickly.
Please.
My patriotism is aligned with the Bill of Rights. What is the point of being patriotic unless it has something important to do with important real freedom? Otherwise, you know. And I think the Bill of Rights speak of what humans really have to have foundation-wise. The other thing I would like to say is there are so many mothers and fathers and children that flee up here from gang violence, terror.
Yes.
Chicago is under gang violence, terror. Our unfit president, the one who grabs and gropes women, sexual assault, he himself has proclaimed he's guilty of this, has appointed Kanye West, the one who makes videos of women hanging from nooses from the ceiling all around his chair in his video Monster. He wrote the song, he made the video, it's on YouTube. He's sitting there in a rundown, stereotypical gang neighborhood apartment, although we now know that the gang element, the evil of the gang element, is at all levels of society and has always been. The ones who drive it are very well insulated at the top. But anyway, so he's sitting there in a chair, and hanging from nooses all around him are the bodies of young, dead women. And so when the mouthpiece for the glories of gang thuggery, particularly its impact upon women, and women are the ones who are most likely to pick up the phone and call the police, when he sends out that cheerleading message to the minions who are perpetrating this terror and horror upon our people, and then he's in the White House with the deal maker, who's also cozy with the Klan and the far right extremist element and Nazism, maybe the deal maker is getting ready to tell them all, you guys keep at it, you're doing good, and we're going to carve up the country, and you can each have your own little region, and they might be getting ready to get ready on something really big. So we've got to stand very close. And I do think that Melania Trump, talking about people in the White House that she does not trust, she might be talking about her own husband, and she might be talking about this new, more overt alliance into gang culture. It's very dangerous, like it's never been in this country. Actually, it's been dangerous for a long time. I'm a woman who raised two kids through typical American neighborhoods that appeared to be safe on the surface but are not safe for women and children at all. And the fact that he appointed Kanye West to help with Chicago, and don't the people of Chicago deserve real help in this great war of violence upon them, which is basically happening now across the country? Look at our random shootings out in Southeast. Southeast.
You certainly.
I'm worried. Time to get your gun and stand strong and try to help out your neighbor.
Okay, well, I'm not sure I agree with all of those, but I certainly appreciate your sentiment. And as you began defining patriotism by the Bill of Rights, and, you know, I'm going to give a special award to someone who can recite the Bill of Rights. Those are the first 10 amendments of the U.S. Constitution. Who knows them by heart? Maybe not many, but it's important. Hey, thank you, Sonny, for raising the points this morning. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to More Talk Radio here on KBOO. I am Cecil Prescott, and today, one, do you smile? Does it make a difference? And Sonny just talked about patriotism and how she defines it by focusing on the Bill of Rights. And she also expressed her concern about the president and some, how he conducts himself and who is invited into the Oval Office. Let's hear what Lou has to say. I believe Lou is waiting. Good morning, Lou.
Can you hear me?
Yes. You're on the air. I'm well. How are you today?
Busy, of course.
Okay.
So it sounds like you're attempting to outline a couple themes. Patriotism, Oscar Romero, I heard mentioned, among other things. So the voter's pamphlet, more importantly, more local and more important. There is a quote. I'm not sure if it's George Bernard Shaw. It's in a Bob Dylan song, but patriotism is the last refuge to which a scoundrel clings. So you might know the original source of that quote. But
I don't.
Yeah, but I like the UN Declaration of Human Rights more than more than nationalist doctrines. Sure, the Bill of Rights is important, but I think the alt-right in particular, as well as Trump, of course, talk about free speech, but what they mean is kind of what Newt Bueller's doing, paid speech or television advertising, and that poor people, who are less represented, have far less. You can do free speech on a street corner, but you need to either organize to talk to a group of people, which at Portland State some of us did this weekend on the election in Oregon, or pay, or try to get articles written in local newspapers or KB radio. So I think it's interesting that the far right, when they have like this last, I don't think you mentioned it, you might have, Cecil, the fight between Antifa and the
I didn't mention it yet. Go ahead.
In Portland this weekend, apparently there was one in D.C. as well. Mm-hmm. But it does seem like partly what your last caller said, that the minions, I'm not sure that there's any specific item that we know about so far, that it's sort of the dog whistle stuff with Trump, of like, he says one thing and he knows exactly what he's doing, and the people on the far right who are against women or against children or like separation of families or think that everybody except them, white people, are not really people, certainly are being encouraged. I wanted to ask you, though, as someone who Portland State paid for some of us as students a while back to go to El Salvador, if you had any thoughts on the Romero thing with the Pope naming him a saint.
One thing I think is important is to remember the legacy of Romero in El Salvador. I think Dorothy Day once said, you know, I don't name me a saint, you know, I have better things to do. And oftentimes when we make heroes, that we forget about who they are and who they really were. So I hope, and certainly many people continues to hold up the legacy of Romero and the struggle and what's going on continues today, that's a saint that we can all stand behind, but also recognize that even within the struggle within the Catholic Church, the two previous popes sort of held up that designation of Romero. So
I think when some of us were able to go to El Salvador, we spent a couple days at Romero's. I've talked to you about it before off air, but at one of the Poor People campaign thing. But at Romero's house where he lived, the cancer hospital where he worked, the church where he got assassinated, and then we went to the bottom of the cathedral, the basement in downtown San Salvador, which is where he's buried. So in talking to undergrads at Portland State, we find that when we mention both Dorothy Day or Oscar Romero, the Archbishop, people really haven't heard of them. So to the extent that naming someone a saint gives them more visibility in terms of history or international stuff or just community organizing like Dorothy Day, that's helpful. My questions, of course, with the current Pope, which you may not have thoughts on per se, but both on the sex abuse scandal and I think he just came out really strongly, and I don't really pay attention word for word to what the new Pope says, but and he's supposed to be more liberal, and he may be than the older ones, but he had this totally weird example about pro-choice women and pro-choice doctors being the same as criminals, like bank robbers, with a peculiar analysis of that, I thought. Whereas I know that there's other religious denominations or groups that seem far more progressive. On voter's pamphlet, and I'll let you go after I ask this question, did you have anything, it sounds like you got to go through it, I haven't got mine yet, but we're, of course, we just did a presentation this weekend out in Multnomah, we being Gray Panthers, about the November election in Oregon. Are there particular candidate races or ballot measures that you yourself think are important that people make sure and vote a certain way? And I know as a KWU host you're not supposed to say specifically, but that would kind of be my question. Either the local Portland ballot measures, statewide ballot measures, or the governor's race in particular, because it sounds like that one's kind of up in the air. Anyway, so I'll let you go. Thanks
Okay, hold on 1 second. I have a question for you.
No, that's fine. Go ahead.
I'll respond to your question.
No, it's fine. But I
also want to ask you, you mentioned at the beginning holding up the Universal Declaration of Human Rights.
Sure.
I don't know whether you memorize it, but why that as a way to approach these issues as opposed to
I'm good at memorizing lots of things like Bob Dylan lyrics or the first part of the Gettysburg Address.
Okay, but
I would say basically that I think international things are really important, which is, it's odd in a way because Trump, like, of course, hates other countries, 53 countries in particular, and it may be that Trump just hates everybody except Trump, but to me, international stuff, it's like, we were talking to, I just applied for a job on environmental stuff, and they asked a question, this is a nonprofit, what's the most important issue, in the world? You know, it's like a general question. So I said environmentalism and global warming, because most people I talk to think that's true, climate change. But in terms of patriotism, Trump says it's more patriotic, apparently, to just pollute, and each country should do that because they're sovereign, whereas an international approach, which Trump says he hates, but there's a liberal, a left version of internationalism, like, I don't know, Rosa Luxemburg or Lenin or a bunch of different people. Thomas Jefferson, I think, was a little more internationalist, actually. That international says that other countries do count, and each person in the world does count. So I like the UN, I like the United Nations in general, which has always been a target of the right as a, you know, it's a way to like supposedly push the United States around. But economically, in terms of globalization, like Chomsky says, or Amy, the United States economically exemplified by Trump's international himself, his corporation, pushes other people around, both in terms of exploiting labor, pollution, a variety of things. So I don't know if that's
Excellent.
A very concise answer to your question.
It's
but
good
thanks
enough.
For asking. All right. Thanks. Bye.
Okay. Thank you, Lou. Okay. So we have at least competing prominent documents that defined us. Sonny mentioned the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the Constitution and of the U.S. Constitution, and Lou mentioned the Universal Declaration of Human Rights by the United Nations. And so as we continue this morning, I'm going to quote them and line them up one to one. So the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution reads, Congress shall make no laws respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the rights of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Many of us know that this First Amendment is free speech, freedom of the press, and freedom of people to assemble peaceably to petition their government. The Universal Declaration of Human Rights by the United Nations states, the Article 1, all human beings are born free and equal to dignity and rights. They are endowed with reason and conscience and should act towards one another in the spirit of brotherhood. Those are two declarations that Sonny and Lou mentioned. You are listening to More Talk Radio here on KBOO FM. I am Cecil Prescott. This morning flying solo. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. A few things I would like people to share and with one another. One is how do you define patriotism? Is it a concept that is reasonable today, or do we need to redefine it? And related to that is the voters pamphlet. Have you actually had a time to read your voters pamphlet if you received it? And what are some of the issues that you will focus on this election? Our last caller, Lou, cry of me about the voters pamphlets and what issues that are important to me. And I know in the weeks coming up, there'll be lots of opportunities here on KBOO and in terms of discussions about ballot initiatives and candidates, both statewide and local. Those are all things that are important. So look at your voters pamphlet, read it carefully, and more specifically, do some research, because the voters pamphlet is just what people put in to express their opinion. So it's useful because it's all there, but you have to do more research because it's, you know, for a lot, it's just political stuff, people pushing their own angle on ballot initiatives and all candidates. Give us a call. Tell us what you think on those, what are important for you, and how do you maintain yourself in these times? Our numbers are 503-231-8187. And Heather is talking to someone right now, and my screen is blank, so I mean totally blank. I don't even see the lights on. So Heather, Heather's going to work. I didn't hear that. Oh, Deanna. Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm pretty well, thank you.
Okay,
all things
great.
Considered, I wanted to reply to your question about how we look at or view patriotism.
Yes.
When I was a child, I thought it was a very powerful and beautiful idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I recall putting my hand over my heart and pledging allegiance to the flag.
Mm-hmm.
And as a student, I went to Spain, where Franco was in power at that time. It was 1965.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember watching a television program, ostensibly from the States, the first week or so that I was there, and they played the national anthem, and I stood up, and I put my hand over my heart, and the tears came down. And there is something about love of one's own country.
Mm-hmm.
However, when love of one's own country pits one against all other human beings in the rest of the world, this becomes a trap, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
A snare and a delusion. So my country first can justify many inhuman and inhumane things.
Yeah. I appreciate how you mentioned, Sharon, when you were a child and how it meant so much to you and standing up and saying the pledge, and also your experience of going to fascist Spain when Franco was in power. It's a constant struggle, I find, to balance between love of land, of country, and how do you prevent from going over the edge where it becomes, you know, us against them?
I think that's a great question. And for me, the way I continue to answer it is, anytime the idea, the concept of patriotism urges me to do something that is negative or harmful to the human rights of other human beings,
mm-hmm.
then I know that I take exactly what Lou was saying about the Human Rights Declaration.
Yes.
Human rights is more inclusive. It's a larger picture.
Yes.
Patriotism is sort of like, it goes back to a very narrow definition of who's okay, and that's a big problem for us.
Do you think we see this, I sense of this rise of selfish nationalism throughout the world,
mm-hmm.
and a fleeing away from internationalism, or
mm-hmm.
is this something you observe? And if that's the case, what can we do to turn the tide?
You don't want to ask me just the biggest question.
Right.
Oh,
well,
right?
Come on, you know.
Well, you know, yesterday, I think it was, or perhaps the day before, in Berlin, many thousands, I'm not sure how many thousand, but I believe it was 10,000 people,
yes,
filled the streets over, they had to lock off 3 miles of downtown Berlin.
Wow.
To accommodate all the people who came out to demonstrate against fascism, the right, and this concept that there's only one group of people that's okay, or one group of people that should be cared for or treasured or honored. They came out to say that that is not who they are, and that's not what they care about, and that's not the world they want to see. We do live in a time of extreme change, and extreme change begets extreme response. In some case, not response, but reaction, and I see that going on here. And, you know, it's a really difficult thing because, for me, my thought and feeling is to love and care for everyone, and that even includes the people who, quote-unquote, disagree with me, until it comes to the point where they are willing to harm other people for their beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a time when I really have difficulty in caring about their needs and well-being.
Yeah.
Because that is the line, and that includes hateful speech, because hateful speech, as we have seen here in Portland and as we see all over the world, leads directly. I wanted to ask you something about the First Amendment. This is really mm-hmm. on my mind a lot.
Mm-hmm.
First Amendment guarantees that the government will make no law.
Yes.
But it doesn't exclude me and my neighbors from saying we will not have people in our neighborhoods preaching hateful things. It does not say that unless you tell me you think that there's a debate about that. Is there?
Well, I mean, I think it's accurate that you pointed out that the Constitution talks about what the government, the Congress, can and cannot do. And certainly there are individual rights that people have the right to speak up, you and your neighbors. The question for me, at least, going back to what you said, where does my right interferes with your right? So if you and a group of neighbors, and I'm thinking, draws a pact that these people, whoever these people are not welcome in our neighborhood.
Because of hate speech, only because of that.
Okay, and who?
Violence, only because of that.
And
only.
Yeah, the challenge is how do we define it? Who defines it? Yeah.
Well, I'm just. That's
yeah.
just where I'm at. I'm
yeah.
not saying everybody can agree with that, but
no,
that
I think
is where I've come to, because any mm-hmm. other thing allows people, groups of people, families, small groups, large groups,
mm-hmm.
to exclude people.
Right.
And I guess the thing that I'm saying is if human rights is the standard or the rule,
mm-hmm.
The golden rule to which we adhere, then people making a point of practicing something that is absolutely contrary, antithetical to that, in other words, promulgating the hatred and exclusion of others,
right?
Then this is something that we the people ought not to allow. That's what I feel. And
thank
I don't
you.
Think it I don't think it crosses anything to do with the First Amendment. Yes, hmm. someone is free to think and speak as they wish, but not to come marching through the street threatening.
Mm-hmm.
No.
That's
my line.
Okay,
and
that's
I wish the ACLU would agree with that. I think actually they have come around to that. But anyway, I'm sorry I've taken up so much.
No, I appreciate it for you sharing your thoughts.
Yeah, and I hope someone
welcome.
Calls in and shares a different thought, because that's the way that we will evolve, I think, is by listening to each other and saying, hey, you forgot about this. Well, what about that, you know?
All right.
Anyway, thank you very much.
Hey, thank you so much. Let me conclude by reading the Article 2 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which says, everyone is entitled to all the rights and freedoms set forth in this declaration, without distinction of any kind, such as race, color, sex, language, religion, political or other opinion, national or social origin, property, birth, or other status. Furthermore, no distinction shall be made on the basis of the political, jurisdictional, or international status of the country or territory to which a person belongs, whether it be independent, trust, non-self-governing, or under any other limitation of sovereignty. And again, this is the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, promulgated by the United Nations, and I want to say established in before 1940s. So let's go to our next caller here on More Talk Radio. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. What are your thoughts on patriotism? How do you define it? Have you looked at the voter pamphlets? What are the issues that are important for you? And how do you maintain your sanity in this world today? Let's go to our next caller, I believe. No.
Yes?
Yes, hello, you're there.
Good morning. I didn't know if I was on or not. I
didn't know whether you were either. And you
good
are.
Good morning, Cecil. This is Linda.
Oh, good morning, Linda.
Good morning. And you had asked and you had mentioned ballot measures, and
yes.
So I'm not going to directly address patriotism except mm-hmm. saying I've always had a discomfort with it. I love so much about, I guess I would say, this country, and I think everybody who grows up in a place tends to be bound to places. So, and I love so much about our cultures, and there's so much I also don't. Mm-hmm. And patriotism to me always seemed like this way to kind of phony up the issue and make it be about something other than what real humans experience, like loving the people around them and their communities and wanting to see them be better and that kind of thing, which is, I think, natural to humans all over. But patriotism to me steps into nationalism, which is making my country better than yours, me better than you, etc. So I don't have a lot positive to say about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have something I want to ask people to do, and I'm sure most of our listeners are going to do this, but when the next election comes up, please vote no on Measure 105. I don't believe it's getting enough publicity. This is the measure that's been put forward to try to limit us as a sanctuary state, mm-hmm. and law enforcement are against it, and certainly people who believe in loving our brothers and sisters who come to this country and to our city and to our area to pick our food and work in our restaurants and work on our construction, our neighbors, our friends, and 105 would make it so that our police, our Oregon State Police or Oregon local police, would be used by immigration to seek out immigrants and arrest them or assist the ICE in doing it. So I just really want to say, you know, I just heard all of that on Democracy Now! This morning, mm-hmm. about how many children are still separated, how
yes.
people who've been returned to their country are allowing their children to be kept back in the United States because they're so fearful of bringing their children back into their country. So
right.
I want to say, on the interest of being truly humanitarian and in believing and giving sanctuary and in believing and giving asylum to people suffering in other parts of the world, especially when they're suffering from efforts that our own military have made and intelligence have made, but really anybody suffering anywhere. We're in the era of migration like we've never seen because of climate change, and mm-hmm. we so have to stand on the right side of this and say, you are a human and therefore my brother or sister. You know, that's all it
yes.
takes. You're a human, I respect you, and I give you all due to you as a human being. And when they're coming to our country asking for aid, we must give it, and we must not turn our police into another part of the ICE. So
thank you.
That's what I really want people to remember and tell their friends, because I'm just not sure that everybody going to vote is going to vote on every issue.
Right.
And then there are some who may not even remember to vote. So I don't think that's mostly our audience. We have our KABU community is more progressive than that in general, but spread the word, please.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Linda, for sharing your thoughts this morning. Indeed, it's an opportunity for all of us to stand, and as we mentioned, the issues of human rights for all, this is something that touches all of our society communities. Next up is Cody. Good morning, Cody.
Hey, how you doing this morning?
I'm well. How are you this morning?
Good. It's good. It's been a while.
Yes. So share with me your wisdom.
I don't have much wisdom. I'm trying to listen more than I'm talking.
Oh.
You know? And, you know, coming from an African-American male point of view, you know, I'm kind of seeing both sides of this.
Okay.
You know, so far as the Bill of Rights,
mm-hmm.
you know, as far as the United States Constitution,
right.
you know, as far as voting rights and the lives that African Americans, descended of slaves, or if you want to call them people of color, to keep that, you know, mm-hmm. in a language that some of us may understand, went through an awful lot for these rights. And it's almost as though it never happened now. And now we're dealing with a very hot button word, patriotism. And I think patriotism, for people who never did time in the military, will have a different connotation than those who haven't.
Mm-hmm.
Because I grew up in, let's say, a cult that basically encouraged me not to salute the flag.
Uh-huh.
All right. So when it comes up to patriotism and all that, I'm a little in the middle, because as I grow older, I get a little wiser. I start to understand things. And people usually use these hot button words because they're feeling invaded, or there's some type of attack. There's some type of war going on.
Yes.
When everything's going great, you don't hear that word too much.
No.
You know? And it's appearing as though a lot of doublespeak words on both sides of the politics we're dealing with is using to inflame a lot of people's emotions. It's good to be emotional. It's very important to be passionate. But if we get a little too passionate, we'll find ourselves manipulated, like many people in the past have been manipulated the same way, based on what we understand about history.
Yes.
Patriotism to me is a defunct word in today's world. We don't have to worry about anyone invading our countries like we did before the invention of the A-bomb.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a dynamic that we have to come to terms with. And I think we all have to understand prioritization when it comes up to taking care of our families, taking care of our loved ones, you know?
Yes.
So far as taking care of someone else, and we totally ignore the ones who's closest to us. I don't know what you call that. When, like, you and I, you and I are friends or brothers,
yes,
and you need help, and I'm ignoring you, Cecil.
Right.
Help someone who may or may not appreciate me, but you're my help, but I'm ignoring you. And it's like, there's some unresolved issues going on here that could find out. We're creating more problems if we don't try to fix these things here before we help other people. But some people are coming from a different point of view, and they say, no, let's do it all for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And one lady said, you know, hate speech. No one bothered to try to define what hate speech was. As an African-American, I'd rather know what's on that person's mind, because we understand hate comes in many different forms.
Yes.
And in today's world, hate, especially in the United States, come in very insidious, quiet forms that no one here wants to have an adult conversation about. So as a result, I can't get too deep.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know? It's certainly something that we need to talk about and that we avoid oftentimes.
Well, I'm noticing having adult conversations is getting more and more difficult.
Mm.
And I mean adult conversations.
Yeah, define that. What do you mean, adult conversation?
Adult conversations is using the language to the best of our ability to tell a very uncomfortable truth.
Mm-hmm.
And being adult enough to not take it personal and to really try to listen to what that other individual is trying to tell you. You know, a lot of people don't like hate speech. I don't like it. It rubs me wrong, but at least I know what's on that person's mind. So that if I see them at a bank, or if I'm trying to rent an apartment from them, I know what they said and what they did. Mm-hmm. Instead of them being, okay, I'm in a neighborhood that does not allow me to say certain things, so right, I'll just be more clever about how I display my hate.
Wow. Hey, okay. Thank you so much for that wisdom. So you did have wisdom to impart with us.
I'm just saying that a lot of people coming from one point of view on your show, and we do need what's that word one person used? It's something along the line of diversity, to where there's many different people, and I'm going, I'm kind of hearing the same thing.
Okay.
Okay.
Hey, thank you so much. As Coley was speaking, I remember the poem by Langston Hughes, African American poet, wrote in 1925 a poem, "I Too Sing America." I too sing America. I am the darker brother. They send me to eat in the kitchen when company comes. But I laugh and eat well and go grow strong. Tomorrow, I'll be at that table when company comes. Nobody dare say to me, eat in the kitchen then. Besides, they'll know how beautiful I am and be ashamed. I too am America. Langston Hughes. You're listening to KBOO FM. We've been talking this morning on More Talk Radio about patriotism. What is it? How do you define it? Voter pamphlets. Have you looked at it? Are there particular issues, candidates that you are concerned about? And how do you maintain your sanity in this crazy world? Our numbers are 503-231-8187. And I am so thankful that Bart has been holding on. Are you there?
I am, sir.
Oh, thank you for waiting.
Well, you've been having productive conversations, and that's great.
Right.
And often we hear divergent point of view, but your last caller is correct. A lot of it sounds pretty much the same because of the viewpoint of the listeners. What this could mean it for the people that are on the other end of the radio waves is you can call too. You can get in. You can put in your two cents. Have a reasoned response and leave some of the polemics behind, and we can both gain from that. Go ahead.
No, I was going to ask you because I appreciate that point. Do you find that difficult to have those conversations of varied points of view? Are people able to listen and respect one another to hear something they don't like?
Well, I think that it's much more polarized across the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a bunch of buzzwords, as your last caller talked about, you know, just hot button words that get thrown into the conversation. I think the newest one is mob. That's become quite a little buzzword across the Republican spectrum, that people that disagree with them and people that, you know, there's been people that don't behave well.
Yes.
And that's certainly true. And there's been bad outcomes from that. But not all of those people are new.
No.
And not all of those people are on the other side of the aisle or the other side of the street or the wrong side of the tracks.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's funny, they seem to promote this national amnesia. Oh, well, you treated our appointee so badly, and you shouted at him, and you shouted at senators, and you did this and did that, and you're just not civil, and this is unacceptable. Well, yes, you say that, but you know, just a few months ago, you guys were on the other side, barking and shouting and saying, "Oh, not this guy, not ever."
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we won't have this conversation. And they didn't say this person has terrible skeletons in his closet or potential skeletons in his closet. They just said, we're not going to talk to him, and we're not going to talk about him, and that's end of conversation.
Is that related to the fact, I'm thinking, I'm hearing what you're saying, and I think part of it is that oftentimes people want our side, whoever our side is, to win, rather than to engage in conversations which may be difficult, and it's just easier to say our side or the other side, I think.
Yeah. My way or the highway.
Yeah.
I think that part of this is the coarsening of debate.
Yeah.
That they're bemoaning right now, but they've been so instrumental in saying, you know, if you're not against, you know, not with me here, if you don't support me, then you're against me and you're a bad person, and any of your ideas are more than suspect.
Let me, yeah.
Kanye West said, "Oh, I feel like a new person, and he's our president, and he's a hero, and we got to make him look good because if he doesn't look good, we don't look good."
Mm-hmm.
Well, my appearance is not dependent on public perception of the activity as a person of ill repute and low intelligence.
Yeah. Well, it's a challenge. I remember some years ago, this was after a season of debate here in Oregon over a ballot measure. It was a anti-gay ballot and measure, and so people were
on number nine. Yes,
people were on both sides, and it,
right.
And I remember afterwards, I along with some people from my side, the right side, the correct side, of course, we decided to have dinner conversation with those on the other side. This is after the election. And those were some very hard conversation. One, just to agree to meet and discuss with one another respectfully, and try to figure out, hear what other people were saying who were just as sincere, I believe, as people on the side I was on, in their beliefs. Now, I don't know in terms of whether or not minds were changed, you know, for the next ballot initiative, but at least for me, at least, it allowed me to try not to segment people who are different than I am as a certain way, that they, you know, for the most part, people get up in the morning and they want to do the right thing. And
not to polarize them and not to say that, you know, that we are polar opposites.
Yeah.
One of the great little buzz tags out of that campaign, as I recall, was collar buttons that said straight but not narrow.
Mm.
You know, that you could allow other people to be how they are and to give them some basic rights about it. What we have now is whipping up the frenzy from the top down, saying that, civil conversation is not possible if you're not going to be civilized. And so they're projecting that on the opposite side, but they're also behaving in a deplorable manner.
And all if the, but go ahead.
Go ahead. We're dancing back. I wanted to touch back on one of your earlier conversations, the woman who said, you know, not in my neighborhood with hate speech, not in my neighborhood with violence.
Right.
And that, you know, is a nice rule of thumb. But one of the earliest precipitators of that in my life was like the Nazis march in Skokie, Illinois.
Yes.
Where they wanted to go through a predominantly Jewish neighborhood and lots and lots of Holocaust survivors who had emigrated to the U.S.
Right.
And just goose step down the street in their uniforms and say, you know, we're here, and, you know, get used to the idea that we don't want you to exist. And the ACLU came in and said, you know, on the one hand, this is deplorable, but on the other hand, they got a right to speak.
Yeah, everyone denounced, you know, We love the ACLU when they stand up for us, but when it's for the other guy, it's become problematic.
Well, but that's part of the civil discourse.
Yeah,
it's disappearing.
Well, how can you have, you know, civil discourse? So if I'm a survivor in Skokie, it's a lot different than two people whose lives aren't at stake or experience, you know, to have a civil conversation.
Well, that was a very, very polarizing event.
Yeah.
And, you know, it got a lot of national attention. You know, it was in Life magazine, which used to be quite a big deal, you know,
right.
A pictorial that came into your own home. But the plus part of that is that there are still people of good intention, and there are still people who are willing to use their intelligence and not drink the Kool-Aid and say, you know, oh, everybody's lying to me, and you're the only, you know, my side is the only people that are telling the truth, and everything else is being distorted against us.
Yeah. Well, how do you How do we discern what is, you know, what is truth in terms of information? I mean, it's a much larger conversation. But as you suggested, that we are often in silos so that, you know, we only speak to people who think like us, we only read the same sources that affirms our opinions. How do we get beyond that, or do we?
That's an excellent question. Also, in the light of, you know, the overall failure of net neutrality is that you get, even if you're a savvy online person, the opinions that you might have normally gathered in the past don't come up. If you know how to ask for them by name, you can still get some or most of them. But in your normal search, a lot of things are being excluded. They're just not there.
Yes.
And so that makes things difficult. You also get political activity at the top that says that the lawyer that defended Exxon from the big oil spill is now the number two at the EPA.
Yeah.
And he's a climate denier.
Yes.
Hello? That's not right. I mean, it, you know, that may be your opinion that some of this is suspect or worse, but to have a person who's avowedly against the idea of science to be in charge of a department or be strongly in the upper tiers of a department whose business it is to protect you and me and everybody else, not only today, but for the future, to have him say, none of this is true. And not only that, I got paid by the other side for a lot of money.
Yeah. We're running out of time, and this conversation is continuing. So I just want to encourage you. Thank you for sharing this morning. And
you.
Continue having those conversations with people around you. Thank you so much, Bart. You are listening to More Talk Radio here on KBOO FM. Coming up in a few minutes is the OMO Variety Hour. Looks at ways a Portland Clean Energy Initiative might address racial and wealth gaps in healthcare. Outcomes at 10, Locus Focus. Barbara Bernstein looks at the government deals, how the government deals to underwrite the fossil fuel industry, and she'll talk to the senior organizer of the Columbia Riverkeepers. 11 is Project Censored, welcomes contributor to Censored 2019, their annual compilation of the stories and analyses that we don't hear. All of these KBOO programs are made possible by you, members. So if you'd like to become a member, go to kboo.fm and click on donate. You have been listening to More Talk Radio. I am Cecil Prescott. I'm flying solo, so hopefully Celeste will be back soon. Stay tuned for KBOO. I want to thank Heather, our engineer this morning, who managed to do magical things with the computer and all. Heather is my hero for today, for all the good things that you do. So thank you all for listening to KBOO. This is More Talk Radio. Thank you for allowing me to share this time with you. I am Cecil Prescott. Stay tuned for more on KBOO, your community radio station. Thank you.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted.
This is Cat Meow.
And this is Becky.
And we want to hang out with you.
The Development Committee will meet the third Wednesday of every month at 7 p.m.
We're traffic informed and
food motivated.
And we're seeking like-minded individuals who want to use their rad fundraising skills and talents to
support the station. Join us.
KBOO is proud to co-sponsor the Portland Folk Music Society's concert season, which this month features the Kathy Kallick Bluegrass Band, October 19th, 7:30 p.m., at the Reedwood Friends Church in Southeast Portland. Kathy Kallick is an award-winning singer-songwriter, having received a Grammy and international bluegrass music accolades. Her five-piece band features more IBMA winners, including local fiddler Annie Staninetz, a former Emerging Artist of the Year. Portland Folk Music Society concerts in November will bring the Honey Whiskey Trio and Legends of the Celtic Harp with Patrick Ball in a special pre-holiday program. PFS presents concerts monthly, now through next May. For more information, go to the website, kboo.fm, and look on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Thank you.